Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
And here he is trying to simultaneously start three different feeds on Facebook.
Twitter. Was I on the air for that?
Almost.
People are going, what the heck is he talking about?
King of multitask.
You know what? I blame Microsoft, honestly, right?
That's
when they came up with the Windows program, we were going to talk legally, right? So I want you to think about this. We'll come back to it. I've always thought, with all the attention deficit disorder that's out there, that some smart legal person is going to come by and go, you know what? We can link attention deficit disorder, which is very much not a deficit, right? It's overstimulation is what attention deficit disorder is, but link it to the fact that Microsoft cursed us with the Windows-based platform that allows us to multitask. And in a severe case of multitasking, you end up with attention deficit disorder.
You're a natural-born attorney. Right?
Can we find basis for that? And Microsoft, I'm just kidding, so don't sue us, okay? But anyway, we are talking legal today, and this is an issue that...
You got a lawyer in the room?
We do. Oh, we have a lawyer in the room. We have a pretty powerful lawyer in the room, actually. I was typing about the show today, and I started writing all the credentials this lady has, and that's basically just stopped, because it was like this on and on and all these accomplishments and distinctions and all this stuff, and I'm so happy to have you.
And now she's on the Rad Life.
I've been trying to get her on the Rad Life for a while, so she finally had a spot, you know, some time slot for us to basically come in here.
You know what? My mom wrote my bio for me, so most of it's true.
Oh, that's your mom?
Exaggerated, but you know, she's my biggest PR agent.
Have her give me a call. I'm going to send her my stuff because she did a great job.
She'll definitely cook for you.
Oh, she'll cook for me?
Yeah. For sure. That's my mom.
Give her some highlights.
So what, for highlights?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You just teased us and said she has all these things. Give us some highlights.
You know, where do I start? Okay. Well, actually, I know where I'm going to start, because what wasn't in your bio, okay, is how did you decide to go down the path of being a lawyer?
Okay.
That wasn't in there.
It wasn't? No. Well, it goes back to my mom, everything else.
It's like started at graduated college. I mean, it's like, you know, was that the point for your mom?
No, she gave me from birth. She let me know. She's like, oh, I have a daughter. This is amazing. You know, I didn't have the opportunity to go to college. So you get to be either whatever you want in life, as long as it's a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. So I'm like, sweet. All right. Well, I don't like blood. And I still don't understand what engineers do. So I'm like, lawyer sounds like a good choice for me.
You know what? We have a similar cultural background, so I can appreciate that on multiple levels. And if my dad's listening, who's an engineer, we're nothing personal, Dad. She just doesn't understand. I don't understand what engineers
still don't
do.
Know
right?
What they do.
52 years later, I still don't understand what engineers do. Right? But no, that's really actually pretty interesting. So from very early on, you had sort of a direction that you were going to pursue this.
Absolutely. You know, from a young age, I loved to read. By the time I was 16 years old, I'd read over 1,000 books.
What? 1,000 books?
Well, you know, I didn't have an iPhone back then.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was no YouTube.
What kind of books did you read? Just read Dick and Jane? I mean, the kids' books, the Hardy.
Because that's required reading for law school, Paul. Right?
Yeah.
No, I bet by 15 or 14. What kind of books did you read?
You know what? I read everything from philosophy to religion to I love historical fiction till now. So anything that was kind of people were buzzing about, I wanted to know about it. Anything that kind of crossed my path that got in my way. Back then, we had to go to a library to get books. I couldn't.
A library, and you needed a library card. And people actually, you know, I actually found it was in my wife's car, and I found this like books on CD, okay, and I opened it, and there was the little card on the inside. I guess she had bought it because they were liquidating some local library, public library or something. Nice. She said it had the little card. And I remember the little stamper. Remember the little stamper with the little dates that, you know, you had to return it or whenever you're that, right? And in the multiple colors because you didn't know what ink they were going to use. I was like, I actually had a nostalgic moment. I was like staring at this card that had dates on it.
You used to try and fake the date by faking the ink on it? You used to try and fake when you returned?
That's not what I said, Paul, and you cannot you cannot prove anything.
There's something romantic about that ink stamp.
Honestly, it's like, you know, I expect, I mean, look, I'm an interior design side. I expect the day where we basically are collecting these cards and using them for some sort of wallpaper covering or something.
Right?
It's like a nostalgic value, you know?
I'm going to take credit for coming up almost with your next really cool transitional decor idea.
Like the reading corner at Starbucks is going to be made up of these little old library cards. I mean, why not? They have the little, remember?
Attention, folks, I'm copywriting that idea right now.
She's copywriting. Yes.
You know, everybody knows.
I mean, it's not very far-fetched, okay? they have friggin' like tea sampling things that they have basically converted the old index card cabinets.
Yeah.
Index card cabinet, Paul.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Paper cuts on the index card cabinets.
You know, repurposing things is the thing right now.
Yeah.
So, things actually have value even if they are old.
What?
Absolutely.
Right. No, yes. They don't.
Right.
Old is out.
Old is out. Says the man who's the oldest one in the room.
Okay, right.
Exactly. But I do want to introduce my guest because we're ad-libbing here. And, you know, I don't think we've had a guest come in here, Paul, and actually ad-lib with us in the beginning.
Have you?
It's always been like your dog and pony show, me and you.
Well, they usually can't do it. They can't run with the big dog.
They're kind of shocked, like, what is going on here? What did I walk into? So I applaud you, Antoinette. That,
you know,
that was pretty good.
I don't like to feel left out. I like to be part of it.
She just jumped right in.
You guys are cool. I like to talk and chat and...
We learned about her mother. We learned about her library card.
So
this is better than texting.
Is it?
Throwing it out there.
So Antoinette Balta, who is the president and co-founder of the Veterans Legal Institute. And that's in Santa Ana?
Yes, sir.
In Santa Ana.
A few blocks from the courthouse.
Ah, convenient.
Yes,
Short commute. But and how long has the Veterans Legal Institute been around?
We've been around almost 4 years, so we're a relatively new grassroots organization.
Okay, and I'm going to let you actually do your background, okay? So why don't you tell people what you did before? I know you graduated locally, right? You went to school locally?
I did. I went to Chapman Law School. It's an excellent law school. I got my master's in law focused on business and economics from there as well.
Not many people get a master's of law degree. Most people get just their JD, but to go on beyond that,
she likes
and get
to read.
Another.
Yeah.
I love to read, and Chapman gave me such a great opportunity. So there's my plug for Chapman.
Chapman, yay. And then you also teach at another local university.
I did. For a while, depending on student interest, I teach the Veterans Clinic at UCI Law School, which is also a great law school in the area.
Then we'll get back to that. I'm curious now about the student interest, okay, and whether that's something we need to work on having more people interested in this.
Okay.
Right. But so after you graduated from Chapman, what came next?
So at the time, because this was now, I don't want to date myself too much, but this was around 12 years ago when I was 12.
You're right.
The economy was really poor. So my dream was to go into public interest work because I'm really motivated by, you know, I've always wanted to work at a charity or nonprofit.
You didn't want to go work at some big, you don't want to work at Gibson, Dunn and Crutcher.
That's a very good question, actually.
Those are great firms, but it just wasn't, you know, big firm life wasn't what I wanted. I really like to work with people that are homeless and mentally ill. I kind of like to work with the underdog, and that's kind of what drives me. But the economy was so poor at that time, I couldn't afford to do it.
So did you volunteer before? Like, I mean, is this something that you had been involved in when you were younger? I mean, we have people that, when it comes to elderly, that they may have volunteered, you know, when a parent or somebody had worked or helped with the senior center, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hearing from you is that there's this sort of desire for public service.
Sure.
Right? And so prior to going to university or when you were younger, did you engage in any of that community?
I did. Yeah, I mean, it started at home. My mom, anytime someone needed to eat, my mom was just a huge cook. That was her thing. She cooked for everyone. Anyone who was new to the country, new to the neighborhood that needed a hand up, my mom was there. My dad did the same.
Mm-hmm.
At a young age, I got really active with my church. My church does a lot of outreach to people in the area. And it was really kind of a selfish thing. It made me feel good. And I'm like, well, I feel good. I want to keep feeling good. Why not make a career out of feeling good?
No. That's brilliant. And to have that awareness early on. I mean, I do quite a bit of volunteering, and I tell people that all the time. I say, you know, don't feel bad because you feel good about doing this. Like, it's feeding your soul. It's giving to you, like, this selfishly a little bit. Because that's okay. You're still doing good work, but you're also giving to yourself in a manner, I think, that anybody who doesn't volunteer or hasn't had an opportunity to volunteer, I don't know that they understand the difference. Like, it gives you in a different way, right? It satisfies you in a different way. it adds to that quality of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think everyone who once they experience the gift of giving back, they do. They feel like, wow, this was really cool. Mm-hmm. I want to do this again. So it's best to lead by action and not just tell people, hey, you should do this. Go out, do it yourself.
Right.
Show people, let people know what you're doing, and that will motivate them to get involved.
It is, actually. It's very inspirational when you see that, when you see people that are sort of, you know, it's like a group of people that maybe have gotten themselves or somebody had brought them along to basically volunteer for something, you know, beach cleanup, whatever it is, and they're kind of shy and off to the side, and by the time the day is over, they're really engaged, and it's a different mindset, and they walk away having taken that with them. It doesn't just, they don't just leave it there. So what happened after college then?
So after,
to follow that,
I went straight to law school. After law school, again, the economy was poor, so mm-hmm. I had to work. So I worked in private practice, business and civil litigation.
Mm-hmm.
Business was good, was making six figures, mm-hmm. Living the dream, you know, relative to what everyone else thinks, but it just wasn't what I wanted. I was going to bed feeling unsatisfied with mm-hmm. my work. We were winning cases. We were, you know, our clients were pleased, but it just wasn't feeding my soul, like you said. So a few years later, as soon as the economy turned and I was able to make enough money and have, you know, secure my financial investments, and to be honest, to the credit of my husband, because mm-hmm. having that second income
really it means a lot.
It paved the way for me mm-hmm. to be able to take a position where I make, you know, one third what I used to make, but I'm 20 times happier.
Right.
And so what does he do? What does he do?
My husband started a company called Euroline Steel Windows and Doors. So it's mostly new construction remodels of windows and doors.
Okay. So that, totally
that,
unrelated.
But that provided you the ability to step away from something that was maybe like more of a secure corporate job, if you will.
Absolutely.
And then actually pursue something that was
and
more of a passion.
It fits
pursuit.
Into, at Euroline, they have a culture of giving. And mm-hmm. so part of his giving is an extension, is saying, you know what, you go out and do good. It's mm-hmm. okay. We'll take the financial loss at home. I'll cover it. And that's part of his giving.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. You know.
So he feels also by helping you be able to do this, that he's also sort of involved in and giving as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
so you're all aligned. You're aligned, the door's aligned, he's aligned, the universe is aligned. That's good.
You know, it all works together. Most of the time, we try. So it's awesome having that kind of support at home, honestly, and being with someone who's like-minded. We believe in the community. We involve our kids in the community. Yeah. You know, we give where we live.
No, absolutely. And that support, and it doesn't get discussed enough or mentioned enough, I think, that support is essential. I think it's not that people cannot do it without that, but it's just a totally different experience.
Well, if you've ever thought about just the value on the nonprofit community, people are always discussing the CEOs of nonprofits and their salaries.
Right.
But you never question the CEO of a private company.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, to get really good talent at a job, most people, they can't afford. A lot of people want to be doing philanthropic work.
Sure.
They can't afford to do it.
Right.
And we don't value the nonprofit community enough to say, you know what, you deserve a salary that's, you know, close to what you would make in the private world based on your skill set, your education, where you live.
Right.
People often say, well, you should be doing that for free. And it's like, I'd love to do this for free. I'm doing it for almost free.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do have to pay rent.
No, I think that, you know, sort of a bigger picture, there's something unfortunate, I think, as a society that we don't put that value, equal value. Because especially with, you know, the topic we're talking about, you're talking about veterans, you're talking about chronic issues, you know, people that are not represented legally or that may actually, like I was telling you earlier, like when I was on the board for Rebuilding Together Orange County, which is no longer around as an affiliate, although the actual umbrella nonprofit, this is about 200 affiliates in the country, you know, you're serving people that are in dire need. I mean, I will never forget actually going into a trailer home where the mother was in her, I think, 80s, and she was the caregiver for her paraplegic daughter that was in her 50s. And they had not had hot running water in that trailer for 4 years. I mean, just the simple stuff like that. And yet society, you know, the focus is on the financial and the money, and that's fine. But we don't value those who give through nonprofits.
Absolutely. I mean, it's shocking and disturbing to know that in our community in Southern California, that there is a family in those conditions, living in those conditions. I believe we're only as strong
Orange
as our
County.
Weakest link.
Right.
Yeah, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Right.
So we need to get out there, find those people, and help them. And
so how do you, I have to ask, you mentioned your children, that you get your children involved in community. How old are they? How many kids do you have? And what do you do to get kids? What do you do to teach that at an early age?
Good question.
You know what? I normalize homelessness to my kids. So it started from when they were babies. Whenever we approach a homeless person, mm-hmm. if I think the conditions are safe, mm-hmm. obviously, and right. it's during the day, we approach that person. We ask them how they're doing. Is there anything that we could assist with at that time?
Mm-hmm.
I have my kids do that. I have my kids shake their hands, again, mm-hmm. if the situation is safe. Mm-hmm. So that they don't have that fear of the unknown.
Yeah, take away the fear.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And how old are they now?
Now my children are 9 and 10.
Okay.
We regularly go to women's shelters where we cook and present the food to the women. I take them along with me to a lot of veterans events. And I've even got them little ACUs, Army Combat Uniforms, to wear. Getting them ready for their older.
Do you have a boy and a girl? Or
I've got two sons, and I've got a niece, Delaney, who's been living with me for 10 years. She's 22. She's about to graduate Cal State Fullerton, and she attends all of my events. She runs all of the silent auction. She helps me with all the logistics of the events in her spare time because she also works.
Because one of the criticisms in suburbia
really
here in pretty Orange County, and I've been guilty of this myself, is that most of the problems Rod just mentioned are anonymous. We don't see them. They're off somewhere. The homeless are down in the flood control channels that we don't see unless we go down there or behind some building. The problem you're talking about, people don't, you can drive around it. I can drive around areas like Santa Ana or whatever and not see them. And therefore, I don't become aware of any of this. I block it. It's easy to block out. It isn't in my face. Not like in downtown New York City or something where we're all on top of each other.
Sure.
So you're saying that you...
Well, Paul, but you know what? It's interesting because, you know, in certain communities, I mean, San Clemente, we're dealing with that, you know. I think part of it is also that it is visible and it's becoming more visible. And I think people's reaction to it is somewhat, in my mind, as I'm like you, is unfortunate. Because it's sort of a bit of a NIMBY approach, not in my own backyard. Like, I want to put it somewhere else.
Yeah,
like somebody
sure.
else
push it
take
out
care
of the,
of
way,
the issue, right?
Right?
Yeah. Not actually get involved. And I think you said, Antoinette, you said something very important. It's like, when you're engaging with this, with you know, as long as it's safe. And the assumption is it's never safe, but that's not true either. I think these are human beings. I had a recent incident where I was watching a dialogue on social media about this on one of these pages that is community-based, I won't say where, and people feel emboldened to take pictures of these people and actually put them up, you know, on social media. Wow. And say, you know, be careful of this person. They you know, and it's hearsay. They did this, or I saw them do that, or what have you. And it was very interesting because this thing kind of fed on itself, and as they usually do, it just fed on itself. It was like sure. inside the bubble discussion that was taking place, and it was becoming a little bit, you know, rabid, to be honest. And then somebody basically weighed in and said, oh, that's so-and-so, who, you know, the person was probably in their late 40s, early 50s, so-and-so that I went to high school with, and that actually was born and raised in the community that was just
wow.
that basically was eviscerating them right there.
Yeah.
And to watch that actually take place and to understand that that isn't a rarity, especially through the anonymousness of social media, it's a very unfortunate because that could have really serious ramifications that take physical form.
So somebody put a name to that face. Somebody, it was a faceless, homeless person until somebody called him out and said, that's Joe. We all used to go to school with.
Boy, did you see the conversation immediately go silent.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's hard enough to be down on your luck, whether it's, you know, you lost your job, you're suffering from a mental health illness, a
very
drug
easy
addiction.
To do.
It's hard enough being in that position. But on top of that, then to be judged by your community members who are all, I mean, again, we're blessed to be living in Orange County. We've got a roof over our heads.
Yep.
We've got this beautiful weather. Our kids go to school. There's great public schools. There's great hospitals. I mean, it's to judge someone who's just completely lost mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's kind of putting salt in the wound.
Well, I think a lot of people don't understand, and we've had guests here that have actually shared this, that interact with the more vulnerable of our society. A lot of people, more than we actually will probably want to admit, a lot of people are like one paycheck away from that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's not like this, you know, this this degenerate part of a society that basically has done everything wrong and has put themselves in this vulnerability over and over and over again. They're people that are basically leading walking the right path. They're leading righteous life, and they are literally maybe one paycheck away financially from total disaster,
or one disaster away.
One medical bill away from that.
Yes, and I'll give you guys an example that kind of segues into my work. In Mission Viejo, Saddleback Community College has a Veterans Resource Center. They've got over 1,200 student veterans. Most of them have engaged in combat, and they're living on their GI Bill. So your GI Bill, which you pay into while you're in the military, provides for a certain amount of your education, plus a small stipend for a housing allowance. Mm-hmm. Well, Orange County housing is very expensive. So a lot of those men and women veterans, student veterans, they couch surf. Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing them at the riverbed or, you know, holding a sign on the freeway, but they're still struggling. Which technically they're homeless because they don't have a place to stay and they can't cover it. And it's hard to go to school full time and work and find a job that pays you well in Orange County. When you, you know, maybe right out of high school went into the military, so you're already 4 years
behind your
classmates.
You don't have the experience, you're behind.
Well, they've got the experience. I mean, these are born leaders. They're trained in the military. People don't understand or recognize that experience, but they don't have the formal education per se, not all of them. It's not the regular
job
path
history
that the rest
that
of us are
looking
taking.
You're absolutely right, and I just want to take a minute and focus on that experience component. We had, at that time, he had not become state senator yet, but we had Josh Newman is a friend of mine down in San Clemente. Josh Newman, that when he was here talking about his nonprofit Armed Force to Workforce, is I think what it was called, and it was basically helping transition and explain to people in corporate America that the experience that is actually gained during service, being in the service, is translatable. And that meant a lot of people just don't see it that way. And that's what he was trying to do. And I'm just going to give a shout out. State Senator Josh Newman will be here on the show in November, Paul.
Oh,
and we'll
good.
Let people know in advance because he's been involved in a lot of stuff and people have reactions.
So let's go right to veterans issues.
But before that, Paul. So you served, I know.
Well, I'm actually presently in the state military.
So there you are. So give in what capacity?
I'm a JAG officer in the rank of captain.
Okay. And so you're currently in the reserves in that capacity. You have been a teacher. You have lectured, I think, a lot all over the place, right? You always get a call to basically be involved in stuff. You're involved in a lot of nonprofits. And because you have all this extra time on your hands, right, you decided to also step up and set up the Veterans Legal Institute 4 years ago as a co-founder.
Yeah.
What made you want to do that?
You know, I was working at a local legal aid and I noticed that there was a huge void in services for veterans that, you know, were specific to them. So when you're in the military, you have a JAG officer, an attorney to assist you with your military related issues. Plus, once you separate from the military, you no longer have access to that JAG officer. And that period of transition between being in the military and becoming a civilian for some of these veterans is difficult. So oftentimes they run into legal issues. Mm-hmm. It's not just the newly transitioning ones. I mean, I do a lot of estate planning for older adult veterans, Vietnam era, World War II, Korea era veterans. But it's expensive to hire an attorney.
Sure.
So attorneys in Orange County start at around maybe $350 an hour. When you're thinking how you're going to pay your rent that month, there's no way you're going to talk to an attorney.
Right.
While there are some legal aids here that are, I mean, bursting at the seams for demand, there was nothing that was totally and wholly military specific with people that truly understand military speak. They understand the language, the culture, where veterans could come and active service members and reservists and be truly comfortable.
Do you think that's why there's a lack of it, is because of that unfamiliarity, that not knowing sort of from a personal perspective,
I think that dating back to Vietnam, veterans who returned home were vastly ignored. Their issues were ignored. And just now recently, within the last decade or two, we're starting to say, hey, these people, these men and women have served our country. It's because of them that we live in this beautiful nation. We have our freedom, that we can be and do whatever we want. There's sometimes some issues typically that arise out of combat or service that probably should be addressed. And so with that, you've seen the rise of nonprofits that want to serve military service members and former service members. And Veterans Legal Institute is among those. We are wholly military specific, so we don't serve civilians. And it's very much a niche. We're one of the only nonprofit, public interest law firms that is wholly military specific, and our services are 100% free.
Wow.
If you come to us, and I mean, there's eligibility requirements, you have to be low income. But if you come to us and we render service, there is no bill ever.
So let's stop for a minute and give people the website in case they're watching.
Sure.
So they can follow with us. Okay, so what's the website?
It's www.vetslegal.com.
Okay, and what are those requirements that you mentioned?
So typically there's a income requirement. So if it's a one-person household, mm-hmm. it's about $3,200 a month. We only serve people in Orange County. We make exceptions for parts of LA, San Diego, and the Inland Empire. But primarily we serve people in our own backyard. And that's to the tune of over $1,500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can imagine if that's just in Orange County. What are we looking at in counties that have less, like Inland Empire has very little funding or resources for veterans.
And I would think because of the, relevant lower rent rates or lower cost of living, that you might actually have people, more people there that are in need because they have moved over there to try to make ends meet maybe a little bit more. It blows my mind. Because also, what was it, $87,000, Paul, or something like that? That was the level that was considered like the poverty line in Orange County, or like the. It's mind-boggling. Almost $100,000. Like $87,000 is basically that margin line, that red line, where if you're at $87,000 or lower, you're considered in like qualifying for assistance in Orange County. So we're imagine if somebody was at 30, right? As a family.
I mean, we're really helping kind of the bottom 10%.
Yeah.
80% of veterans are doing better than their civilian counterparts. They're business owners, they're leaders in their own right, they're doing well. And nobody really talks about those veterans. And I sometimes feel bad because I don't like veterans to be branded as, oh, they may have post-traumatic stress, or, oh, you know, they've got traumatic brain injury.
Right.
That's true. There are a lot of veterans out there with these issues, but the majority are CEOs of Fortune 500 mm-hmm. companies or starting their own businesses. And I've had the privilege to meet a lot of mm-hmm. those veterans, and it makes me very proud to be a veteran.
And that's always been the case. I mean, I remember being in on the design side, but with the hotel industry specifically, there's a lot of people that are in the hospitality industry that are actually previously were in the military service. And I think it's that discipline and regimented approach that is what also then works well in that particular industry. And a lot of them that you look at that are operators or owners or in a management position, you're absolutely correct. And so let me ask you this, because I think I know the answer, but why do you think we don't hear more about those? Is it because just the nature of that person having been in service is not to basically...
Because bad stories sell.
Well, no.
Part of it is...
Not to blow your own horn, kind of.
True leaders are humble, in
my exactly.
opinion. And when you serve in the military, you rarely meet someone who will say, oh, I did this and I did that.
Right.
And you really have to kind of dig into it and ask. A lot of us have parents that served in the military, and you never learned about what they really did. And I think it's an element of humbleness.
Yeah.
And true leaders, again, unless you kind of ask, they're not going to openly share.
Right.
So, you know, you rarely see the CEO wearing a Marine Corps hat or a pin. It's just not something that, and honestly, the American public hasn't truly valued that service up until recently. So I think now
you're
it's
right, because it was exactly opposite of valuing it when it came down to the Vietnam, after the Vietnam War. There was an absolute, we don't want to remember the war, we don't want to talk about the war, it was an embarrassment, and everybody who was involved in it was an embarrassment, including people that were basically in service. I mean, let's just call it like it is, right? And you're right, only recently, I would say in the last probably 2 decades, that we have basically embraced those who have basically given so much. And there's been a lot of organizations that have popped up to try to basically shore up or support or help the transition for veterans. What are some of the issues that you see, I'd say in the last 4 years, that are common, repetitive things that you encounter?
Issues for veterans are across the spectrum legally. So we mainly handle civil issues. We rarely handle anything criminal.
Okay.
And it could be anything from veteran benefit appeals. So, mm-hmm. We've had... veterans that were injured or mm-hmm. they have a service-connected injury that's related to their military service.
Yeah.
And they have to navigate this VA bureaucracy. So they submit their paperwork and then they get denied. And it's very disheartening for many veterans because it's, when you serve your country and then you suffer mm-hmm. some sort of, bodily damage or mental health mm-hmm. issue. And then you say, hey, here's what happened to me. And they say, no, sorry, denied. It's very,
And it may be a denial based on a stupid, I mean, I hear this from seniors, like, and like I said, when I was rebuilding together, we saw this a little bit too, is it maybe just the unfamiliarity with the form and procedure that needed to be followed, and something wasn't done correctly.
You know, it's just a complicated system.
Yeah, it's a complicated VA system. Yeah.
You've got millions of people involved in this system, so there's no easy way about it.
Right.
There's a lot of great people that work at the VA, but again, the system is complicated. It's still a bureaucracy, so it's hard to navigate those forms. It's hard sometimes to compile evidence and to put it in a clear way.
To qualify for benefits that you supposedly have as a veteran, basically.
That they've earned. So it's kind of like workers' comp. When you get injured on the job,
you're
compensated for that injury, and you're entitled to health care for that injury.
Right.
Same with the military. So we've helped a lot of veterans that were in combat that may have been injured by an IED, and we help them retrieve their benefits and get them their, you know, the health care that they deserve.
That's awesome. And so... tell me about a few recent things that you've actually been involved in relevant to basically helping veterans.
You
can share.
There's so many different stories that fill the gamut. I'll let you know how we're providing more creative legal services, because we're
Perfect.
Doing it one by one. We're meeting with these veterans, but sometimes there are demands that are so high that our small office just doesn't have the resources for it. So we started creating what we call legal clinics, and they're specific to practice areas. So now, twice a month, we have what's called a family law legal clinic. And we've approached private members of the California State Bar, actually out of the Orange County Bar Association, mm-hmm. which is phenomenally supportive of veterans. And leaders of the Orange County Bar stepped up and said, we want to help veterans. You know, we may not be able to make this huge financial donations or donate 4 days a week, but we can come in once a month. Family law attorneys are coming in once or twice a month, and they're offering services in pro per in limited areas of family law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the only areas. Family law across the nation is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There are no free family law services, very
Correct.
Rare, and it's very difficult to get. So we're one of the only organizations in the nation that offers family law services for veterans pro bono. And we get calls all the time. And since we've started this clinic,
mm-hmm.
we get around 35 veterans a month that are now taking advantage
wow.
of it. We fill up every spot in the clinic, and we get walk-ins, and everybody gets served. But it's fantastic to see that there was this huge void, and mm-hmm. we're filling it through creative services.
And what kinds of issues are they coming
well,
in with?
Before that, Paul, where do people find out about it? Is it on the website? I mean,
if you go to Facebook and you go like our page, Veterans Legal Institute, we put in all of our activities on there. We update it frequently. All of the veteran nonprofits, they support us. They send out our stuff. They send us clientele. We have no problem with outreach, believe it or not. A lot of people say, oh, let me do you a favor. I'll spread the word. And it's like, that's awesome. Please do. But that's actually not an area of concern for us, because we're at the VA hospital in Long
Beach.
You're
filling up every seat.
We're at the North County Vet Center in Garden Grove. We're at the city of Mission Viejo. We're at Saddleback College. We even do Military Mondays at Starbucks in the homeless quarter in Santa Ana.
Wow.
So we're all over the place. Veterans know us. We're in a building that has other veteran nonprofits, so we all rented in the same building, which makes it kind of like a one-stop shop for them.
Smart.
We're trying, and we do these, what I like to call, again, creative legal services, where you can serve a bunch of people in one day, in mm-hmm. one area, and bring the best of the best into the office. I mean, these are unpaid attorneys that mm-hmm. are coming in, but they specialize in this mm-hmm. stuff.
Give us some examples of issues, of family law issues. What would family law issues entail?
I mean, it could be anything from summary dissolutions to parenting time, which is custody, visitation, mm-hmm. child support, spousal support. I had one veteran who returned from combat. His child had been born. His now wife and him were not together. He had some issues. He had to go through some mental health treatment.
Mm-hmm.
He'd concluded his mental health treatment and had become a lot better,
mm-hmm.
returned, married his child's mother. And he said, hey, could you guys help me change my daughter's last name? My wife and I want her to share my last name.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, you know, that's pretty a great way to kind of close this chapter in their life so they can move on and be a happy family. So, of course, we did. It was a small legal issue, but we were there to help. Of course, mm-hmm. we did it pro bono.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the daughter is now being raised by mom and dad together in a healthy relationship.
Awesome.
Who pays for all of your service? And if this is free to the veterans, do you get grants? Do you get donations? Who funds all this
work?
Well,
for almost the first year, my partner and I didn't take any salary. And that's kind of how we got it off the ground. The Orange County Bar Association, right away, they loved the idea, and they chipped in some grant money to help us pay the rent. From there, basically, we apply for grants. We have two big fundraisers a year. This Saturday, we're going to be at the Original Wine Club in Santa Ana. Mm-hmm. They've got a huge free wine festival, and they supply items for a silent auction and a raffle. We show up, all we do is kind of conduct the logistics of it, mm-hmm. and they let us keep all that money. So small, you know, organizations, private and public, are helping us to raise money. We've had clients of ours donate $10 here, $15 there. I like to joke around and say we're the Bernie Sanders of all nonprofits. We don't get a lot of large voluminous, you know, donations, but we get them in volume, and we get a lot of meaningful donations. So again, time, talent, treasure, all of those things help this organization run. It's because of the community that we mm-hmm. are able to serve over 1,500 veterans.
And Antoina, do you guys, when it comes to family law, are you serving the veterans themselves, or also, let's say, in the case of a veteran that had passed and it's a surviving spouse, do you guys get involved in that? Because I know when it comes to veterans benefits, there's actually benefits for a surviving spouse.
Oftentimes we do help the surviving spouse. We help the dependent children.
Right.
We've helped with adoptions. In terms of when veterans have passed in combat. So, I mean, again, it runs the entire gambit of civil law. We do almost everything. If we can help that veteran remove, or that veteran's family remove a barrier to housing, healthcare, education, or employment, we'll do it.
And it's not just as they transition into civilian life, it's also while they're in there, right? If it's a veteran's a veteran, they're having issues. I mean, I saw one of your videos where it was a former Marine, and she was basically had been laid off, and she actually tried to file for unemployment. She was denied, and then you guys jumped in and did that because it was critical for her to basically be getting that unemployment. So
absolutely,
yeah.
Well, she had a dishonest employer, and
they contested her request for unemployment. I think it was the case.
They did, and it was wrongfully so. And we had all of the background paperwork and everything. So we actually brought in Joseph Nador, who's a pro bono. Well, he's a private attorney at Claudie Boone & Sieg, which is a great firm in Newport Beach. We told him about the case. He jumped right on. He took the case.
Mm-hmm.
He won the case and really saved that woman from becoming homeless. She was on the brink of homelessness. This is a female Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it one step further. And what you didn't see in that video is he sued that employer civilly.
There was a little language in there that she said afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, where he ended, I think it says at the end of the video is like, you don't mess with a Marine or a veteran, I think he said. So that led me to believe there was a little bit more to the story.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I mean, it's attorneys like Joe that really help our organization going and put the muscle behind our organization.
Right.
He's an employment law attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He actually represents corporations. But when I spoke with him about the case, because I was considering taking it on myself, and I said, you know, Joe, I don't know. I haven't done this before. What do you think? And he was so devastated by what this woman had gone through. He said, you know what? I don't usually represent the employee, but I'm going to take this case.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, he's a big fan of the Marine Corps. So he did a fantastic job.
Well, that and there was another one also. So kudos, Joe, if you're listening, but it was awesome. That really got my attention. And then there was another one that was about immigration.
Yeah.
Which
a lot of people don't realize that. You know, a lot of people who serve in the military only have green cards. And what's scary about
that? Well, I'm bringing it up on purpose because especially with the recent news in Puerto Rico and all the stuff, and a lot of people that are either Latino or that are a lot of large concentration of people that are from Puerto Rico origin that are deported veterans and the DACA. And, you know, all of these things where you think, well, this has nothing to do with veterans. But no, and you had a particular one that was actually specifically about immigration, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We get quite a few immigration inquiries. In this particular video you saw, we had a veteran who was an American citizen of Korean ascent, and he went to Iraq and was part of an IED and was severely injured.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back to the States, he fell in love with his present wife, who's also a Korean, and she's a nurse, and
mm-hmm.
she's really changed this man's life. She's really helped him through his issues, and, you know, but they couldn't afford to hire an immigration attorney.
Mm-hmm. For her.
And this woman has a degree in nursing, so she could work here, but she didn't have employment authorization by that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Richard Wilner of Wilner O'Reilly, who takes on all of our immigration cases, a fantastic immigration attorney in Orange, and he said, I'll take it. He helped the wife get her green card,
mm-hmm.
and now she's working. She's employed as a nurse. So it's not just an immigration issue. It's an economic issue. This couple was on the brink of homelessness.
Yeah.
The husband, who's a Marine Corps veteran, served honorably in combat, can't work because of his service because he was injured. An IED has mental health issues, physical issues. So, you know, now his wife can work and they don't need the support of the system anymore because they got a hand up by Richard Willner and Veterans Legal Institute, mm-hmm. and now they're fully functional and they're doing great.
Right, it's a hand up, a hand up. It's not a handout, and there is a difference. And again, a wonderful way of for these attorneys to also be of service, right? I mean, and I think we start off with talking about volunteering and how it basically rewards you in a different way.
Sure. I mean, I call them Lawyers for Warriors. We do an event every year called Lawyers for Warriors, and we always honor one attorney. Attorney patriots. You don't have to serve this nation to be a patriot.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to join the military to serve this nation.
Right.
A lot of people, they provide their service in different ways, and one way is through volunteering at veteran-specific or military-specific nonprofits mm-hmm. like the Veterans Legal Institute.
No, I think everybody can be of service, and I applaud you for instilling that into your kids. I mean, I think that's something that they will take with them and pass on, and it's very important that everybody has that, especially in a place as affluent as Orange County, that we sometimes get too far away from those who are in need and outside of that's also part of our community. Those are also our brothers and sisters out there. Those are still Orange County residents that are out there one way or the other. You can't leave them behind.
Absolutely.
I mean, what does that say about as a society when we basically ignore that and are willing to leave it behind, that disposability of people?
Somebody tweeted in and wants to know, and you've talked to me before on the show, give us some idea how many veterans, the size of the scope. You said you handle roughly 1,500 cases a year. Is Orange County filled with lots of veterans in need?
You know what? There is a huge veteran population, Orange County, LA County, San Diego. Remember, we've got a Marine Corps base in Camp Pendleton mm-hmm. in San Diego. So the need is huge. I mean, just to let you know, we served 1,500, and I'm actually embarrassed by that number. And I say that not to downgrade the work we did, because a lot of us work 7 days a week at the firm, but because we had over 2,500 inquiries.
Wow.
And honestly, it's like we have one person in the office. All they do is answer phones. Mm-hmm. That's all day long. That phone rings. And I want someone live to be answering that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the demand is huge. There are veterans coming out of the woodworks. It's not just the new OEF, OIF, the Iraq and Afghanistan mm-hmm. veterans. Like I said, we've got Gulf War. We've got Korea era, World War II. You know, we did estate planning for a female World War II veteran mm-hmm. a couple years ago, and it was like the unicorn of all veterans. Mm-hmm. This woman was fantastic. And her concern was, and she said, I don't want to die before I can't afford these services, but mm-hmm. I really kind of want to get my paperwork in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, attorney Brad Erdosi, who's now Judge Brad Erdosi, he did her estate planning, and she just passed away about a month ago, a few days short of her 100th birthday.
Wow.
But before she did, she told me, she said, when I go, she's like, when I go in 20 years, she's a funny lady. She's when I go, I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've got everything there. So it's not just, the homeless veterans you see on the freeway holding the mm-hmm. sign. It's people that maybe the only income they have is really just the asset of they have a home, mm-hmm. but they're getting $600 a month in Social mm-hmm. Security, and that's it. It's hard to live on.
Well, it might be just the relieving their stress in terms of helping them put their affairs in order.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just could be as simple as that you're helping them in, because they basically, especially as they get, an older person.
Yeah, older adult veterans.
That weighs really heavy.
Veterans.
Exactly. And it's heavy on you when you don't have your affairs in order, you don't know what's coming, the uncertainty. I mean, these things take on a different life when somebody's older. Even if that's what it's case, and I know what you're talking about, because it was actually one of the videos as well that I watched.
Yes,
right?
We got her on video.
Right, it was awesome, and I love the fact that you had the old pictures of her. She was a sergeant.
Yeah.
Right. Where are those videos? I think you have a YouTube station, right, or YouTube channel where you
we
basically,
have a YouTube channel. Right, Veterans Legal Institute.
Okay.
And the majority of the videos are actually donated by Regality Media.
Mm-hmm.
They do court reporting and video services. And they're
awesome videos.
They do a great job, and they actually approach us every year. They say, "We want to do a video for you. How can we help? We want to help veterans." So Isaiah Leslie of Regality Media and Sean Malone, his videographer, are fantastic.
Well, kudos to them, because, I mean, also, I just know from involvement with nonprofit, any business person will tell you the quality of those videos means a lot in terms of you being able to get out there in a very professional capacity. The impressions are everything, right?
You know what? Days. It's so funny, because our overhead is relatively low. It's because we get almost everything donated. My office furniture was donated. The only thing that I like to have new is computers, because I found with the donated computers I've had issues.
But too much problems.
I mean, a lot of people say we don't want to give money, but can we donate something? I'm like, yeah, we need paper, right. We need postage, right. We need, you know, to run the office, we need ink,
right.
We need printing services. So, a lot of our items are donated, and they're fancy, like those mm-hmm. videos. People say, mm-hmm. wow, how much did you pay for that mm-hmm. video? I'm like, well, we paid a lot less than what it's mm-hmm. worth.
Mm-hmm. No, but those things are important, and being aware that you need to have those as tools in order to basically fulfill your mission. I mean, I really did. They made a big difference when I was watching those. And these days, that's how people can consume content.
Sure.
I mean, you know, is usually video content. So, I mean, I know
audio content.
Well, audio, but well, no,
we got to throw that in.
Yeah, especially audio.
Yes, but Paul, even OC Talk Radio, right?
Has a YouTube channel.
Started off with being, you push the listen live button. Everybody hears me saying this. Listen live button on the octalkradio.net, right, to listen to us. And then, what was it, like 2 years ago, almost a year and a half ago?
People started wanting to watch it. I can't believe it.
Well, here's a YouTube station, and here we are feeding video on Facebook. Hi, everybody. Son, Paul's off camera always because that is
Wizard of Oz.
That is for the safety of the general population as well as him, right? We keep
That's
him
right.
off camera.
That's right.
But no, it's you got. I mean, 4 years. I would have never guessed it was just 4 years. To be honest, Antoinette. I mean, I was looking at just the website, the work that you guys have been doing. There's just the way that the organization is presented. Felt a lot longer, and thank you for being out there. And I can only imagine what you guys are going to be able to accomplish going forward, especially as more and more awareness comes to the issues and the need, as well as the fact that there is somebody like you there to provide that service.
So if you want to how can people help? If
how can
it
people
isn't
help?
Other than
how...
just money, can they donate time? Can they donate services?
Absolutely.
Can they? What
you know
other
what?
Things do you need? Give us a laundry list of things you'd like to look for.
How much time do you have?
Oh, well.
Oh, wait, we're good. We can give you a couple more minutes.
We've got volunteer. We always need volunteer graphic designers, volunteer people to do clerical work, answer the phones, you know, help us with our events. We're always looking for silent auction items, live auction items. You know, people.
Even helping organize probably those events, right?
Absolutely. Like there's
boots on deck kind of.
You know, we've had high school students come uh-huh. into our office uh-huh. and volunteer over summer. So, I mean, there's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And our oldest volunteer was 88 years old. and she volunteered with us for over a year, actually. So, you know, we have demand and need for everything. It's, mm-hmm. like I said, we do a lot with very small resources. And it's not to the credit of the co-founders it's really to the credit of the community, because it really takes a village. And we've been fortunate to have that village really help us
supportive.
Every step of the way. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. So again, the website is www. Do people say www anymore?
No, they don't. You're dating yourself. Right. But go ahead. All right.
Vetslegal.com.
That's right.
Right. And definitely check out their Veterans Legal
and like
Institute.
Us on Facebook, guys. Yeah. Veterans Legal Institute.
Facebook and YouTube, and like it on Facebook for sure.
And next event, when's your next event coming up?
So this Saturday, the Original Wine Club in Santa Ana from 3 to 7. It's free. They're going to have over 50 wines and crafted beers and spirits.
Mm-hmm.
The way they raise money for us is they've got a kind of a small silent auction raffle that they put together, and all of the money that generates, they donate to us. So come out, have a drink, say hello. We'd love to meet you guys. We have a golf tournament coming up also in November. We'd love to see you there. We still have some foursomes available. So, you know, reach out to me. It's abalta@vetslegal.com. You can find me on LinkedIn or Facebook as well.
That's awesome. And yeah, definitely check out the Facebook page, because it has a lot of these events. I looked at it yesterday. And check out the website. The website is really, really a good website.
In a world where so many people say, what can I do for overwhelming problems?
You can pick up the phone and call. You can reach out and connect.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you guys a quick story in over 10 seconds. I had a lady I was talking to. We were having a big event the next day. I met her at a car show. And she said, oh, I love wrapping gifts. And I looked at her and I said, could you wrap baskets? She said, oh, I'm so good at that. I enjoy it. That Sunday, she was at my house from Nancy Vella from 1 p.m. till midnight helping me put together items for our
auction.
Silent
wow.
auction. It was fantastic. It was a beautiful silent auction. And that helped generate an extra $10,000 in revenue for veterans in
so
our
there
county.
You go. She didn't have $10,000 to give, but she gave of herself in a way that created value.
The gift of your time volunteering sometimes is unbelievable. the ripple effect of that, that it has on people's lives, people that are in need. So anybody who's feeling, well, I don't know, I've never volunteered before, I don't know what I would do to help, right? First thing you do is you connect with either, you know, the Antoinette, or the, you know, go to the website, send a connection, get on Facebook, send a message, or other organizations that are out there. You know, there's a bunch of them in the same building that you guys are in, you said, in Santa Ana.
Absolutely.
They all would welcome you reaching out to them and saying, what can I do? And there's plenty there to do. There's more need than we could probably, you know, ever serve. And it's growing. And it's growing because we have an aging population, a bunch of that aging population, and it's also veterans. You know,
we have, never ending wars.
We have an increase in costs of everything. You know, cost of living is higher, especially in areas like Orange County. And there are people that are always need that hand up.
Absolutely. And honestly, as we mentioned earlier, it brings meaning to your own life when you can use your time, your talent, or your treasure to help those in need. So we'd love for everybody to join us in this mission to serve those that need it the most.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. It really means a lot.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely. I mean,
I enjoyed the chit-chat with you.
And Paul.
Of course,
she was
Paul.
Good at the banter.
Of course, Paul.
She
was good at the banter. You got an off course for Paul.
Of course.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Paul's kind of my favorite.
See? Oh, she can come back.
Okay, that's it. We're done with the show now. But no, it really means a lot. I know we've been trying to get you on, and you've been busy. I really appreciate you making the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
It means
I'm happy
a lot.
To be here. Thanks for helping spread the word and
no,
doing
for
the
sure.
good deeds.
Anything we can do to help do that, just let me know.
Our office needs to be decorated.
Your office needs to be decorated?
Oh, see?
Okay,
you opened the door.
You know what?
I just called you out.
You know what? She called me out, then she asked. So I'm going to say, sure, no problem. Whatever you need in that capacity. And anybody who I know who's out there who has furniture or office furniture or anything like that.
Tile, carpet.
Call me because I have a feeling we're going to have to be doing this office.
I would love that.
It'll be a pleasure for me to do, honestly.
Well,
seriously.
We would love that.
Yeah, for sure.
We'd love that.
Let me know.
He does really cool work.
I've
seen some of the things.
I've been to some of the places, like the Olive.
Did you go to Olive Branch?
That place, I mean, beautiful. Your work is amazing.
The one in Irvine?
Well, I've been to the...
Or the one in San Juan.
San Juan.
Yeah.
And I saw Irvine on...
On the online?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, shout out for... Since you brought it up. Okay. And maybe we should just go grab the lunch there.
That is some amazing Lebanese food.
Their food is ridiculous, right? And for you and me, who basically probably sampled, like, you know, hi, mom.
Yeah.
Hi to your mom. You know, sampled great food growing up. For us to say to about a restaurant that is some amazing Lebanese food, right?
That is some fantastic. I mean, I'm always in the mood for Lebanese food. If anyone out there feels like inviting me, that sushi. Had you said there was going to be Lebanese food or sushi, I'd have come a lot sooner, Rod.
Well, did I mention that that's where I usually spend my Wednesday nights? And so I will be there again tonight. Mm-hmm. No, if anybody wants to test me on or test us on that statement about the quality of the food, I will be at the Olive Branch in San Juan tonight. Hanging out with my friend who's the owner, Omar Schmidt. And if you are in Irvine and you can't make it to San Juan, and you want opened up in an express version opened up at Alton and Jeffrey, and I guess I'm just going to have to hit him up for sponsorship now that I've mentioned him on there, right?
You're going to have to donate something there.
or bring us food at least.
I've mentioned stuff before, and he's said whatever we need. He's also very supportive.
He is. He's very supportive. The whole family, his dad, his mom, I mean, they're just really great. His sister, who just got married recently, his wife. These are people that, again, and like a lot of people that are out there, in their heart, there's the spirit of giving.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's just a matter of not knowing where to go to fulfill that.
Yeah, and I believe everyone has that. And you're right. Sometimes the issue is, well, I don't know what to do. Or people will say, I can barely make ends meet. I can't help anyone else. It's like, well, what do you
it's
do?
Not
for
about,
what's
it's
your
not
talent?
About, it's not about money. It's about time.
Absolutely.
Right. And maybe they didn't grow up, like, for example, and it's not a bad or good, or bad thing or at all, but, you know, maybe their parents were busy. Maybe it was a single parent, they didn't really have time to basically instill that by example, take them to that homeless shelter, to that food bank, you know, to basically volunteer. And so, yeah, reach out to these organizations.
It's never too late to start.
And I will tell you, and it's maybe is very selfish, like you said, but the reward that you get from volunteering is a different kind of
satisfaction altogether.
Plus, you get to meet cool philanthropic people.
You do. It's true. Like-minded people, and you're inspired by their action. And the reward that you get from volunteering, no paycheck is going to give you that same satisfaction. I guarantee you that that's the case. So please go to the website, check out the Veterans Legal Institute, like them on Facebook. You can always reach us if you need any additional information to connect with Antoinette. Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, @gmail.com. And you can always call me, 949-212-8299. You know, I used to worry about giving out my number, but nobody calls me.
So watch
the deluge now.
Have you been checking your text messages?
No, I check my text messages. Okay. Nobody calls.
Snap?
Nobody writes. Huh? I don't do Snapchat.
No? Well, that's your problem. Maybe that's
you want me to Snapchat now, too?
Have you seen those filters, though? I mean, really.
The Snapchat filters?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, you know what? We're just going to have to do a Snapchat filter before you leave the studio now.
We're doing it.
Oh, flawless skin?
Yes.
Okay, sign me up. I want flawless skin. Okay, so thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, Paul, for manning the board, as always, and being part of the show. And we will be back next week with another amazing guest. I don't know if they're going to match Antoinette, but we're going
to
try.
It's going to be hard to do. Right?
We're going to try.
We can always conduct a poll. I know the listeners out there are going to back me up.
Yes, exactly. Online
wow,
polls.
Wow. She's just like, you know, here's a survey and I'm the best. And you're going to vote for me. I like her. You can come back anytime.
I feel like I'm going to eat those words right now. I take that back. You know what? It's the coffee, the caffeine. It makes me say
Really? We're going to blame it on the coffee.
It's the microphones.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gantos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.